Well, good morning. How are you all doing today? Good. Well, I'm just so thankful to be here. Yesterday morning, I was in Minneapolis for the funeral of a dear family friend, and I thought I would leave right after that, get here by 8 p.m. at the latest, but there was a big snowstorm in Minnesota and Iowa Friday, and then continued some into Saturday. To make a long story short, I hit ice and slid off the road into the ditch. But thankfully, some friends were driving back too, and they were a little in front of me and helped me. We got a tow truck, got back on the road, made it to Des Moines last night, and drove the rest of the way this morning. So I'm just really glad to be here. And thank you. You've all been so kind, too. I mean, Pastor JC called to check on me. Donna Beaver told me she had put me on the prayer list. So thank you all for praying and being so caring. It really means a lot. Oh, well, again, really excited to be here and get to share with you a little bit about what God is doing in Africa. So I was raised primarily as a missionary kid in Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, Togo, and Kenya. So God began to cultivate my heart for missions and for the continent of Africa from the time that I was pretty young. And over the years, he continued to grow that burden in my heart. When I was in college, the Lord confirmed that he was calling me personally to missions. And so for the past almost 9 years, I served as a missionary associate. First, God led me to Sudan, where I served for 3 years, had some wonderful opportunities to get to share the love of Jesus with Sudanese Muslim families. Unfortunately, our whole team had to leave the country due to escalating circumstances. So from there, God led me to teach in Ethiopia, and then most recently to Africa's Hope. And over the years, God has continued to really break my heart for the unreached in Africa, and he's also given me a deep burden for the importance of training and discipleship in reaching the unreached. So I'm thrilled to now become a career missionary to Africa and to get to help equip and empower African leaders to disciple the nations. So in a little bit, I'm going to tell you the stories of some of these leaders who I have the privilege of investing in. But first, I'd like to paint a brief picture for you of the needs in Africa right now. So on one hand, the church in Africa is growing. But this has caused an urgent need for spiritually healthy, biblically trained leaders who can pastor new churches where new believers can be discipled. Otherwise, the church is either led astray by false doctrine, or these gospel seeds that are being planted rot in the ground and the harvest is lost altogether. But at the same time as this growth is occurring, so much of the continent is still unreached. There are currently 867 unreached people groups in sub-Saharan Africa. So that's over 240 million people who've not only never heard, but don't even have access to the gospel. And these are very spiritually dark places that are pretty volatile and resistant. But amidst this spiritual darkness, God is raising up not just a few, but thousands of African men and women who have said yes to the call, and they're willing to give their lives to go to these difficult places and plant the church where it doesn't yet exist. The issue is that most of them don't have access to quality training and discipleship, especially in their own language. They're willing and eager even to go, but they're hungry to be trained and equipped for the task. I'd like to show you a short video so that you can see some of the people that I'm talking about. Thank you. in response to this need, I'm serving with the ministry Africa's Hope, and I'll be traveling around the continent teaching and working with African church leaders and translation teams to develop biblical training and discipleship resources into the major languages of Africa. So that these incredible individuals, some of who you just saw on the video, can have the tools they need in their own heart language and the language of the people that God is sending them to. In Revelation 7:9, John described his vision of heaven. He said that he saw a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And my vision is to see many more African leaders raised up, equipped, and empowered to preach the gospel, plant the church, and make disciples so that John's vision of heaven can become a reality. There's a passage that God has put on my heart from John 12 that I think is closely connected to missions, and I'll be starting from verse 23 if you'd like to follow along with me. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So what's happening here? Obviously, when Jesus is talking about the kernel of wheat needing to die in the ground, he was first of all referring to his upcoming death and resurrection, where he had to literally die in order to give us new life. But is this passage only about Jesus? A sentence later, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me." Now, Jesus said this, of course, first directly to his disciples, but through John's gospel, he's speaking this to all of us who are his followers. And as his followers, that means we need to imitate him and follow his example. So that means that kernel of wheat metaphor applies to us too. So if you think about it, first, the kernel has to let go of the head of wheat where it was safe and secure, and so it can fall to the ground, be planted in the soil, and even though it doesn't technically die, it basically has to die to its former identity as a seed, and in a sense, die to its will. Because if it stays a seed, that's all it will ever be. A small, lone seed with very limited impact. But if it will lay down its former identity and allow the transformation process to occur, it will grow into a plant that is capable of producing fruit at least 100 times over what it was as a little seed. So essentially, it must die in order for new life to occur. And that's what Jesus did. That's what he calls all of his followers in Kansas City, in Africa, everywhere else around the world. So what does this idea of dying to ourselves look like for us? I think, first of all, this means laying down our own plans, our ambitions, and really at the core of it, dying to our will, so that God can replace all of that with his plan for our lives. I think as we lay all of those things down and consistently pray, "More of you and less of me," and like Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," God answers that and our desires begin to change, and so that we do truly want him and what he wants more than anything else. And as that happens, we come to this remarkable understanding that God is also inviting us to participate with him in his mission. And he's made it clear from the beginning that that mission is to redeem lost humanity through Christ and restore them to himself for all eternity. That's the central message of the whole Bible. The tragedy is that millions and millions in Africa have still never heard that. No one's been willing to die to themselves and go to most of these unreached areas to offer them new life in Christ. But this is starting to change as Africans encounter Jesus in powerful ways. So I'd like to tell you the story of Hakim. So Hakim was born in Hargeisa, Somaliland, and he grew up very zealous for his Muslim faith. And a Christian Ethiopian teacher happened to be assigned to the school in his region. So Hakim took it upon himself that he was going to convince this born-again Christian that he was wrong and that he needed to become a Muslim. So he asked the teacher for a Bible, thinking he would use it to disprove Christianity. The teacher was, of course, happy to give him a Bible, and they started having conversations. Well, Hakim was very aggressive, but as he started to listen to the calm responses of the teacher, and as he began to read the Bible for himself, the Holy Spirit began to work on his heart and showed him that Jesus really is the one and only Savior. And Hakim accepted Christ. And this new hope he'd found was so powerful and life-altering, he wanted everyone else to experience it too. So he started sharing with all of his Somali friends and even saw some of them start to accept Christ. But he realized he knew pretty little about his new faith, and he wanted to be trained and discipled for what he felt God was calling him to do. So he went to the neighboring country of Djibouti, and even though that country is 98% Islamic, we have a small biblical training program in the capital city there. And a cool side note about that, that program was started by some Ethiopian church leaders. Over the last few years, I've had the honor of getting to work with them to develop our biblical training materials into Amharic and Afan Oromo, the two major languages of Ethiopia. And later, if you want to look, I have some Amharic back there. You can see what the letters look like. But anyhow, they're using these materials now in training programs all across Ethiopia to train Ethiopians for gospel ministry. And they also had a passion to reach out into the neighboring countries. So they started this program in Djibouti. And that's the program that Hakim entered. He graduated a few years ago. This is a picture of a recent graduating class from that program in Djibouti. And now Hakim is still living in Djibouti, and he has started a small underground ministry for Somali believers. And right now, he is working with about a dozen new believers to share faith and disciple them. And on this next slide is an amazing picture. You'll see Hakim is in the middle. Tesfai is on the left in red. He's the leader of our training programs in Ethiopia. And the others are new Somali believers. And this picture was taken right after Hakim baptized these new believers in the Red Sea. Isn't that amazing? So I am praying and believing that through them there could be tremendous revival across Djibouti, Eritrea, Sudan, Yemen, and beyond. And this is an amazing example of what God can do with someone who is willing to die to themselves so that God can work through them to reach someone who is lost. And then when that new believer is trained and discipled, that disciple can become a disciple maker who reaches others, who reach others, and this amazing multiplication effect starts to happen. And God is using that method and people like Hakim to get to people and places where we as Americans might never be able to get to. So may we be willing to come alongside people like Hakim and similarly be willing to lay down our own ambitions and will so that God can work through us to fulfill what he's calling each one of us to do. Second, I think dying to ourselves involves laying down our own ability or lack thereof and replacing it with God-sized potential. If we look at verse 24 again, it says, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I think there's a human tendency that makes us feel like some of our worth is wrapped up in what we can do for God. And I don't know what's more likely to get into your way, if it's feeling like you can or you need to do it on your own, or if it's being impeded by fear or feeling like you're not enough. Maybe it's some of both. Regardless, if we try to do things in our own strength, we're not going to get very far. But think how much exponentially more we can accomplish if we'll lay down our abilities, our strengths, and our weaknesses, our pride, insecurity, desire for control or success, or recognition, safety, even all those things that we're trying to do for God. If we'll lay all of that down and present ourselves on the altar to be used in whatever way God sees fit, he can use us in ways so much more than we could ever imagine. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure well aware of my weaknesses and the fact that on my own, I'm inadequate. But honestly, aren't we all inadequate to accomplish what God has called us to do in our own strength? But the thing is, God isn't asking us to do it on our own. And he sure isn't limited by our limitations. So he says that if we will die to ourselves, he wants to equip us with something immeasurably greater than our limited human abilities, and that's his power. In Ephesians 1, 18 through 21, Paul writes to the believers there, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion." So let that sink in for a minute. The same power, incomparable power of God that rose Christ from the dead, that's the same power that God makes available to us to transform us, to work in us, and to work through us. I think if we can just grasp that, it'll dispel any fear that we have about whether God can use us. And it was also because of this power that Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." So in other words, Jesus was saying, with the authority God has given me, I am sending you to the nations as my representatives. But I'm not asking you to do it alone. I'm giving you access to my power to work in and through you so that you, who were once a lone kernel of wheat, can sow many seeds and reap a harvest in my name. About a year ago, I was teaching in Tanzania, and I had an incredible Tanzanian woman named Florence in my class. She's an example of someone whose life was radically changed when she encountered the power of Christ. And this is a picture of her. So Florence grew up without ever hearing the gospel until at the age of 14. She happened to attend a service at the local AG church, and she was radically saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and shortly after called into ministry. And she immediately started witnessing to her classmates and her family and even going door to door to share Jesus with her Muslim neighbors. Now, her parents were not believers and her dad was pretty hostile to the gospel, but Florence started preaching outside of her house every night at the age of 15, and many people started coming to Christ as a result, including her own mother. But directly across the street from where she lived, there lived a female witch doctor, and she was very angry about what she could see happening. So she called on other witch doctors from around the country to come help her in putting an end to this situation. Soon a large group of witch doctors gathered, and they began to pronounce curses on Florence and threatened to kill her. Florence and her group kept meeting. They just moved inside. But once the witch doctors surrounded the house, Florence knew they were in grave danger. Now, her mom had been reading through the Bible for herself, and she said, "Remember the days of Elijah." So they started to pray for rain. Well, God answered their prayer. It immediately began to rain, and the objects that the witch doctors had been using for their curses weren't supposed to get wet. So the rain destroyed them, and the witch doctors' plans were totally foiled. And Florence went on to, God asked her to plant a church. She stepped out in faith and obeyed. And now, years later, God has given her a burden to go from village to village in Tanzania to preach, plant a church, train up a pastor who can take over, and then go on to the next village and do the same thing. But first, she really wants to be fully equipped for this task that God has called her to do. So she entered a ministry training program sponsored by Africa's Hope. And Florence's story is just such a powerful example of someone who, on her own, seemed fairly limited in potential, but after obeying God's call to lay it all down before him, has been used by God in amazing ways and had what could only be described as a God-sized impact. Let's look at John 12 again. Jesus says, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." And he ends saying, "Father, glorify your name." I think what Jesus is saying here, that everything else in our lives should fall so incredibly short of our love for Jesus that it's like hating those things in comparison. And to me, I think the main idea can be summed up like this. We willingly lay everything at his feet, all we are, all we have, everything else we desire, and live solely for him. Why? For the all-surpassing purpose of bringing him glory. After all, isn't our primary purpose to know God and to make God known? And if that's the case, may we run after him with our entire being and commit ourselves wholeheartedly to the mandate that he has given us to serve as his ambassadors, so we might bring him glory and share the wondrous news of the gospel with a lost and a dying world. And Jesus made it clear, even in this verse, it's not going to be easy, but he did give us the guarantee of his promise, or the promise of his presence, both on this earthly journey and for all eternity. I've been enormously inspired and challenged by pastors in Burkina Faso who are living this out. So Burkina Faso is in West Africa. The country is predominantly Muslim. And even though Islamic extremism has been on the rise, the church has also been growing due to the efforts of church planters who've been willing to go to unreached areas. And I've had the privilege of getting to work with some of the national church leaders to help translate our biblical training materials into Moré, the heart language of most of the country, so that we can help resource these church planting schools. So Pastor Pierre Wedrago was the pastor of a small church in the village of Sirgaji in the north. He had served there for almost 40 years. And April of last year, jihadist terrorists came to Pierre's church and told him that if he would leave the church and the village, they would leave him alone. But Pierre refused. Some of his relatives heard about the threats and urged him to leave for the sake of his safety. But he told them he would rather die for his faith than leave the people and the church that God had called him to. Several days later, on Sunday, April 28th of 2019, just as the morning worship service was ending, 12 armed terrorists came to the church and ordered Pastor Pierre and 6 other members of the congregation to go outside and gather under a tree. The terrorists then demanded that they convert to Islam. When they refused, the attackers took them back behind the church one by one and shot them, and then set fire to the church before leaving. Since then, Many other pastors in the region who have planted churches have been threatened also, and people have urged them to evacuate. But inspired by Pierre's courageous stand for Jesus, these pastors instead, with great boldness, are choosing to sleep in their churches. They've said, if they kill us, at least we will be in the churches we love that represent Jesus to our communities. Now, Pierre knew the risks, but more than that, he was driven by the assurance that the same power of the living God that rose Christ from the dead could also transform the lives of the people of his village, Sirgaji, and beyond. And so, emboldened and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Pastor Pierre, the others who were martyred, and now these other church planters around the region. And there are still new church planters being sent out amidst all this. They've chosen to courageously continue to obey God's call to share the gospel, knowing that Jesus is worth it, even if it means paying the ultimate price. Oh, that God would give us the courage to do the same and to live for him and his glory, no matter the cost. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I don't know about you, but I don't want to remain a single seed. With the Holy Spirit's help, I want to die to myself, to my ambitions, to what I can and can't do on my own. I want to die to all of that and lay it down at the feet of Jesus so that he can live more fully in me and bear fruit in my life that will produce many seeds in his kingdom. And I think this is a lifelong journey. I don't think it's something we do once. I think it's a choice he asks us to make every single day. And right now for me, that means obeying what God has called me to do in Africa. But I can't do it alone, so thank you for being a church that loves and is actively engaged in missions. And thank you for partnering with me as I invest my life in these church planters, like I've told you about, who are working on the front lines, and the many just behind them who are ready to go. I have prayer cards at my table in the back, and I'd be so honored if you would take one and remember to pray for me, for these African leaders that I've been telling you about, and for the millions across the continent who still haven't encountered Jesus. Finally, can I invite you to join me in each laying ourselves on the altar and dedicating ourselves, either for the first time or once again, to God and however he would want to use us to accomplish his mission. Obviously, it's going to look different for each of us, but in praying, would you also ask God if maybe he's calling you to come to Africa and to share Jesus where he's not known? I believe wholeheartedly that spirit-empowered, biblically trained leaders are the hope of Africa. Just think what could happen as thousands more are equipped for the Great Commission and then mobilized all over the continent and beyond. And as we all work together, just imagine the harvest that could occur. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the incomprehensible price you would pay in order to give us new life. Thank you that we know you, that we have that hope. And I just pray that you would help each of us to offer ourselves once more as a living sacrifice to you. May we die to ourselves that you can live more fully in us. And Jesus, it's amazing that you choose and want to use us to help accomplish your mission. So Lord, I just pray that you would break our hearts once more for the lost. Thank you that your heart is for people. So Jesus, just make our hearts once more for those around us, for those in other countries. And I pray that you would use us in order to expand your kingdom and in order to bring you glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.